Eddie Fisher's daughter, all that. You know, she said, how many people can say that their dad left my mother for Elizabeth Taylor? And I thought, well, yeah, that's a pretty unique statement that not many people could have. My wonderment when she was there was, I was wondering, why is this person here? They showed a picture of her up on the screen, and this young person that had no wrinkles, no lines, looked really, you know, like pleasant and approachable. And then I looked, she walked out on the stage, and it was almost like people gasped. Because a little woman walked out that her hair was kind of a mess. She had an arm in a sling, and she had like glitter on her eyes, and she was not polished at all. When she started to give her speech, I thought, wow, where is this going to go? And I thought, bless her heart, several times, you know. But at the end of it, I realized the purpose of her speech was that she shared from her heart. She wasn't polished. It was from her heart. And so today I hope to be able to share just a little bit that's a little polished, but mostly from the heart. And some of the things I feel that I've learned in the church and in life in general growing up these last 56 years is, I know, I'm not secret because I know Jack's already told it. I don't have any doubt of that. So one of the things I've learned, and that is that children grow up and that someday they'll be the adults. And they'll be running the church, they'll be running the world, and they'll be raising our grandchildren, your grandchildren, their grandchildren. And that's why I feel that it is so important to put our time, our energy, our love, our investment in our children. And I know that we owe people, we need some time and energy and love and investment too. But we are not children anymore, and I don't think we should behave as such. And I believe that with our children, in supporting them, in guiding them, and doing as the Bible teaches, and that the older shall train the younger, that we will then have a generation that will have some firm foundation. They'll have some solid decision-making to be able to put because they know where they're drawing it from. You know, our children grow up, and at some point, this walk becomes their own. And I've realized that probably the last few months, that I can no longer walk that walk for my children. They had their own walk. Didn't know that was going to strike a key. But they walked their own walk. And I had to walk my own walk. Jack had to walk his own walk. And every one of us at some point had to make the decision to walk our own walk. So I just want to encourage you all to be thankful for the children. Help them, nourish them, train them, guide them. I've learned to be very thankful for people like John Bomsberger that's not here today, but he comes in and he brings five grandchildren that if it weren't for him bringing them here, they wouldn't be exposed to God and his truth and his love and church people. And I'm very thankful for that, probably more so thankful for that than I knew to be in my younger years. That leads me to the next point, and that is happiness. I found that I'm much more happy serving than I am being served. If you haven't come to that decision yet or that conclusion yet, you will. You know, I just feel like you will. It is a much nicer, better place to be the one serving than it is to be sitting there and being served. At some point in our lives, we'll get to the point that we won't have an option, but we'll need to be served and we'll have to be served. I can guarantee you at that point, you'll be wishing, I wish I could be up serving them. So remember that now is a time to serve, and it's a good thing to be more concerned about others than it is ourselves. We have a song that we sing in our children's church, and I had everybody out here one day stand up and do it, and it's called, When We All Pull Together, How Happy We'll Be. When we all pull together. And the kids love that song. And when we pull together, we're not so concerned about pulling against each other. My next thought is about love. And I've learned that love is to be appreciated and accepted, and that love is expressed in several different ways, and it really shouldn't be judged. Your love, how you express to me, may be different than my love that I express to you, but the participation in that love is priceless, and it should be enjoyed and valued. When I was having surgery, one of my sisters, that's a really bold lady, she came up and very strong, and she got by the bedside and she said, "Jana, what did you do?" And I looked at her and I said, "Nothing." And she said, "All right then." And so she took my hand and she began to pray. And I was looking at Summer and I was looking at Jack, because I knew that with this particular sister, everybody expected something, you know. And I was watching them. They were watching me. And I thought, don't shut her down. She has a purpose. She's participating and expressing her love. And she did. She bombarded heaven and prayed, and we all felt better when it was done, you know. But everybody has a different way of expressing love, and we should value and appreciate that expression of love. Some people are more honest and less mercy than others. But it's still, it's needful. It's a needful part of our lives to enjoy it and appreciate it and value it. I've thought oftentimes when someone was going through such heavy grief, I wanted to give them such wonderful words of advice and support and help them to just be able to get them past it. And I learned that sometimes silence is golden. Enjoy. I wanted to be as happy as you are about whatever it is that's making you so happy. And I had to fight sometimes, because sometimes I was envious. And I had to learn that it wasn't about me, and it wasn't about my possessions or your possessions, but it was about love and joy and sharing in that joy. I believe that when we have friends and we have family and we have loved ones, we should share in their joy and be happy for them in whatever that joy is, to be happy with them. My next thought is about peace. One of the first things I remember being so peaceful about as a Christian, and that was learning that I don't have to be the man of God. I was very, very thankful when I really got a hold of that and learned that I have a husband that thankfully took his role as the man of God. And not to say that we don't have some strong disagreements about that sometimes, but we have that peace and comfort of knowing that we'll disagree, but we still love each other. And that eventually I'll either see it his way or he'll see it mine, or we'll just drop it and go on. We have gotten a little smarter in the years. I've also learned that with my family and my friends, that you all are not my possession. And that was such a bit of peace for me whenever I finally came to that decision or that resolution, that conclusion, whatever that it came, it came. And that is that we all are free to live, to be, and to do as we want. And I value that freedom. And I value that freedom for each of you. When I see someone that's trying to control or manipulate or have it because they think this is best for you, I really pull back from that, because I think, you know, everybody has their own path. And God knows that path better than I know it. And so my part is to pray and support and trust that God will lead us where he wants us to go. I do believe in that. And to be thankful in that whatever state I'm in, to be thankful. There's so many things that goes on, and people talk about the wars and about rumor of wars and about this and that and here and there. And I thought, really, you know, we all have our little complaints. We all have our things we have to deal with. We have our schedules. We have everything that we have to be mindful of sometimes. But mostly, Randy, we got to be thankful. We just need to be thankful sometimes. And lastly, I've learned that change changes. I've also learned that the Lord is our keeper. And that whenever change is changing, sometimes it's pleasant and it's received and it's welcomed, and sometimes it's feared. A few months ago, last May, I was told that I had cancer. And so, first, you know, I was in this shock of, I have cancer? I'm healthy. I exercise. I'm healthy. I have cancer. And during that time, just only a couple of weeks passed before I had surgery, and I told Jack, I said, what a wonderful place to be, that I'm not scared. I don't feel like I got to get out there and get this done. I haven't done that. I haven't done this. I got to go. I got to get this done. I didn't feel that. I told him, I said, I feel so much at peace. And I said, I am in no way ready to leave. I love my family. I love my grandchildren. I love my life. And I'm not ready to go, but I am ready to go. And I said, so if that is what is God's will for me at this time, I said, I only have a couple of requests, and that was some minor things for my children. I said, you know, I'm good, and I'm so thankful that I don't have to look back and think, what do I need to do? What can I get done? I got to get this done before I didn't have any of that. I thought, you know, I'm walking in peace, and I'm very thankful for that. Thankfully, the blessing that I had was that it was removed. It was in stage one, never spread anywhere, didn't have to have chemo, just had to get over the surgery. And I was off work for a week, worked at home a week, and the third week I was back full-time at work. So, you know, God is good, but had it been the other direction and I hadn't been here today, God is still good.
All the time.
The Lord is our keeper. That is what my mother taught me more than anything else, is that whatever you go through, whatever you see someone else go through, God is still God. And no matter what I go through, I do not question that God is God. I think that I've covered all the points that I want to cover, but one of the things that I want to say, and that is that I love with all my heart my family, my friends, my church family. They're all combined. My co-workers, I have a passion for people and for relationships, and sometimes that passion has been more than I knew what to do with. But at the same time, I am thankful today that God has helped me to get a good balance in that I feel and be able to appreciate, love, and enjoy you and life and however that mixes together. Thank you.
Thank you for that 3 minutes of wisdom. Where you at? Well, you know, that's one of the first times she's been up here doing something like that. I don't even remember the last time. So, and I thought a couple of things she was saying. One is when she said change happens, and she's such a routine person. And for all you people that are so routine, you hate change, don't you? Unless it's just a very good, happy change. And so, but that is one of the things that I thought about as well, is, you know, everything changes. It all changes. These new generations coming up, and that's a part of it, isn't it? And then when she said if God had chosen to take her home, he would still be fine. I would not be fine. So thank you for your prayers. And I appreciate the goodness of God. I'm going to have you out by 12, and so I got three things I want to share with you, and I'm not even going to turn in my Bible today. If you want to look them up, Jonah or Judges chapter 6, Gideon is my first example, and here's my first life lesson that for you, if you want to write it down. God will give you enough information. Enough information is the key word, or words, to start and sustain His purpose for you. And you can call it your mission, your vision, your goal, whatever you want to call it. But He will give you enough information. For instance, when we started Prayer Faith, God began to prompt me. I had spent 7 years with a Hillcrest Pentecostal Church of God. I didn't grow up Pentecostal, I grew up Baptist, but my Jana was in a Pentecostal or Assembly of God church, and then a little country Pentecostal church, and I told the class Wednesday night, our Bible class, I said, you know, I love Jana, and I love God, and so that's where she was, and so that's where I was, and God uses pretty women. We came up here and we served, and God began to prompt me. I was the youth pastor for a while. I was the Bible teacher of a young adult class, kind of like Rob used to teach in this setting here, the younger married class. We had a senior class. But I taught that for quite some time. God began to prompt me about becoming a pastor and starting a church. And I knew from the Assembly of God, the Pentecostal side, to the Baptist side, I knew there was something for us in the middle, and we became an interdenominational church. I knew that we would be that. In fact, I explained that to a young man this week that's kind of on a new spiritual journey, and he said, "Oh, I'm glad you told me what that is, because that's what I am." He's probably in his 30s or so, and maybe late 20s, but that he found out what he was when I told him what interdenominational was. And I said, we have all kinds of people from all different backgrounds that come here, from Church of Christ to Nazarenes to Pentecostals to Baptists, and we mix together, and we try to keep this as our key focus, the Word of the Living God. I knew that, and he gave me that. And then he also said to me, as he was prompting me, that you will rent in your first two locations and you will build or buy in the third. This is our third location that we came to after about 3 years as a church. And so from the very first day that God began to prompt me and call me, I knew that. And then one Sunday not long after, I'd become the associate pastor at our church. Year before that or so, I'd went out and just pastored or preached in all kinds of churches. We'd go to a Baptist church, Nazarene church, and I would just go and visit wherever God led for that year and preach in so many different places and saw so many. And what God told me was, look at the good in each church and try to, he was forming me, because there's something good in each church you go to. And some of you maybe haven't grown that much yet to know, if you go to any church and they're preaching the Word of God, how many knows there's something good going on in that house? And so that's what I did, and I tried to emulate that and say, this is what we want to be. And so then I became the associate pastor, and then one day he called me, and I resigned our as associate, and I was shocked. After 7 years of serving at our church, I was asked by my pastor to leave quietly and just kind of slip on out, and I wasn't allowed to say goodbye. And it was a devastating blow to me, because I'd served for 7 years, but he had a fear. And my pastor, he's preached here, and so this is, I'm not dogging my pastor. That's just the way it was, and he knows it, and I know it, and the church knew it. But he had a fear of literally me taking people from the church, and also. But he raised up probably hundreds of ministers, pastors and ministers over his years, but he didn't know how to release them, you know. And so that was one of the things that I thought, when people come and people go, teach me how to release people, Lord, and I'll hit on that in just a minute. But he gave me enough information, and so that Sunday I resigned, and I went home, and on the way home I told Jan, I resigned my position today, and we're going to start a church. And she said, where at? Remember, she's Miss Routine. And our kids, if you have a routine mom, let me tell you what they produce, routine children. And if you think they don't, here's an example. My kid one day, the TV went out. Jake was little. She would put his cereal, his juice. He would put him in front of the TV with a tray, and he'd sit there and watch the TV and eat his cereal and drink his juice. One day the TV went out. Guess what he did? He got the cereal, the juice, went and laid down in front of a blank TV and just sat there and ate his cereal and watched a blank screen. That's routine. I was a masonry contractor earlier in our ministry, and I would take the kids to school on occasion if it was raining or the weather was inclement weather and I couldn't go to work. And so I'd take them to school. Here's a routine child. Mama takes us right up there and drops us off. And here is a truthful, blunt person. Get out of the car, you know. Just get out of the car, okay? Hunt for me when I get back this evening. I don't know where I'll be. Be a surprise, you know. If you don't see me, walk home, you know. Come on. But I, you know, he'll give you enough information. That's all the information I had, was I knew God was calling me to pastor and to resign. I did that, and here's how God works. I stepped out on faith, not knowing where I was going, what I was doing. Jana says, after I told her what God had called me to resign, and she said, I saw us, I don't know if it's a vision, a dream, what it was, but I saw us preaching over at this little church. And so I called the pastor, and because I didn't know what my next step was. It's kind of like driving down the road at 70 with your lights on dim. You just kind of know there's a road and hope nothing's down there that you're going to run into. That's the way faith is sometimes. And that's the way this church started. And so I give him a call, and I said, I've resigned my position. I'm looking for a church. Told him what Jana had said, and he said, This morning, we were down on our knees. He said, our church has dwindled down. There were three or four of us here this morning, and we prayed this prayer. God, if you don't send someone to help us, we're going to have to close the doors. I call that afternoon. See, God knows. And I thought, why didn't you just tell me that? But He don't sometimes, because the just shall live by what? Faith. And that kills a lot of Christians, because He said, I'll give you enough. When he called Moses to go to Egypt, He gave him a lengthy list, and I think that's where He changed policy on us. He gives Moses all this long list, and he still argues, and he thought, well, they're just going to argue anyway, so I'm going to shorten the list after Moses. That's my theory. Then Gideon comes along, and he's called to go out and conquer, and guess what he does? He puts out, and I wish, you know, I thought, that's pretty simple. Why couldn't we do the fleece thing, Lord? Do you want me to go, Pastor, or not? I'm going to put my little lamb's wool out tomorrow, and if I can wring it out and it's wet, I'll know I'm going. If not, and I'm going to take Jana with me so she'll know, because she's the routine and she don't want change either. So we're all going to gather around tomorrow, and if the wool is wet, we're going to wring it out, and we're all going to know that God is in it. And the next morning, this is where, you know, if he had just probably done it once, that might still been in policy as well. But how many remembers what Gideon does? He says, I can't remember if I said the fleece was wet in the ground or the ground. Could you do this one more time? And so he goes out the next day, you know, in the ground. And so he flip-flops it. And so he knows that it's the Lord. So God says, I got a better one. Let's do a New Testament. Let's just call it faith. And the just shall live by faith. And so that's all I knew. But here's what I did. I went and I met with the pastor. I remember having $150 in my pocket. That was my tithe for the week. And I remember saying to him, I said, this is what I have. And we came to an agreement. I think it was $600 a month, and we would pay by the week. And so I didn't know how I was going to get the money for the rest of the time. But I said, I have this. And if you ever talk to a broke pastor that it needs to pay his bills, he snatched it off the table and said, that'll work. And so that's how this church literally started. The first Sunday we had, and here's something else that I thought was amusing. Jana had a sister. She was a teacher, Bible teacher, the one that came in prancing and saying, you know, she talked about earlier about what have you done. You know, she was a Bible teacher at the same church we were attending. And Jana didn't even know that I was resigning, so she certainly didn't know. But God told her the same morning, to resign your class, I've got something I want you to do. She did. Now, you have to understand her sister. Actually, what she said that morning when she came in to pray for Jana, and after she's kind of give her the, you know, I think she was just fishing for something. Have you done something? Did you bring this on? Remember Job's friends? You know, did you bring this on? And she said, no, I didn't. So Sissy gets up and she says, when we're praying, she says, all right, Lord, get up and go in and tell the Father she needs healing. I thought, oh my God, she's bossing Jesus around. That's just the kind of woman she is, but she's very bold. If you need a bold prayer, I'll give you her number. And so she resigned her class, and so she calls and she says, you're not going to believe what I've done. And we said, well, you're not going to believe what we've done. And on the surface, I know on the surface, it looks like we were collaborating and all that kind of stuff. And maybe that's what my pastor was concerned with. But as God is my witness, we did not know what the other's intention was. So I said, well, why don't you pray about coming with us? And I said, we've got a little church. And so she came, and the first Sunday it was her and her children and me and my children and one other couple that we had discipled for several years. We went by every Sunday night after church if they didn't come, and we discipled them. And I said, put on the coffee because I'm coming by, and we were going to talk. We just talked and loved on them. They later became members of our church and then became board members here. But they came with us, and we had 9 people our first Sunday. And then when we came over here, 3 years later, we came to here, and I remember going through this and thinking, this is way too big for us. We can't afford it. But this is what I saw. This is phase 3. We called it the rent in the first 2. I saw this, and I didn't know it all be built. But when I saw this and I knew the property was here, I thought, this is it. And I fell down on my knees and said, God, this is it. And I want it. Took the elders over, and they prayed for a couple of weeks or so and took some tours and prayed throughout the building. Then we opened it up for our church, and they walked through here praying and looking, and we casting vision of what this room will be and that room will be. And and we had to raise about $6,500 just to pay a portion of our real estate fees. And it so happened, this is how God works, it so happened that this church that had built all this dispersed, and one man wound up with a note that loved God, and we met with him, and I said, this is all we can come up with, if we can come up with this, and if that's not enough, then we're not going to do anything. And I said, and here's something else you might want to note. I'm not asking anybody to sign any notes or any pledges or anything. I'm going to sign the little document. And if that's not enough, then we're not going. Because when we bought this place, there were several families that had deeded their houses and different things. And so I said, we're not going that route. And to get to my next point, he took it. He took it. And we raised the money. And it was unbelievable for what we could do in one setting and to come to here. And all I'm saying is, God will give you enough information, but you've got to step out. You've got to step out. If you want to see the results and see the next phase. Lesson number two, there's an extraordinary amount of gifted and talented and generous people in the local church. I am amazed at the talent. Aren't you amazed at just the talent this morning? That, you know, they're up here singing, and that last song the praise band sang, I'd never heard that, but that was awesome. And Spencer, you did a great job. You need to sing more. Not that Kayla's not... you know, great, but that you complimented each other so well. And you see that all through the body of Christ. And our kids now up here playing the keyboards and the pianos and the drums, and they're leading the youth center, and there are people that are cooking and cleaning and gardening and mowing and doing administration work and all these sort of things. It's amazing to me the amount of talent in the local church. It just blows my mind. In Ephesians 4, 11 through 16 was the scripture I was going to hit on, but if you want to read that, but he talks about pastors and preachers and teachers and prophets and evangelists and all, but and that's expected. But you know the talent that's in here. We got people that are singing from babies to 80. How old are you, Dorothy? 87, still singing and teaching and doing for God. And it's just amazing the talent that we have here. That's intercessors and the hospital teams and all the in between. The teachers, preachers, computer and sound, and all it takes to run this. And Rex, you come today, and you see Spencer was up here, and the other generations, and the, you know, his little brother is in the booth. Isn't that awesome? It's just, it's God is awesome. And then we do missions all over the world. Guatemala, Nicholas is here, that I saw him 20-something years ago, or probably about 20 years ago, because right after we came out here, he came and we hooked up forces, and now we built houses in Guatemala, several houses. We drill wells in Africa, and that was all possible because of this one little local church. There's an extraordinary amount of talented people and generous people in the body of Christ. It amazes me. And the last point is this. People come and people go. We have people here today that play the piano and other different members that have come just to help celebrate this day that have spent, I thought, with between the Backuses and the Davises and the different ones that have come today, there's probably 30, 40 years of ministry sitting in here that's poured their blood into this, so you could sit here today. But now they've gone out. And in our early years, thank God Jana grew, because in our early years, every time somebody left, we had to have a funeral. Oh, God, we don't know why they left. Because she's like, what did we do? And with her personality, what did we do? And with my personality, what's wrong with them? And trust me, it's better to have what's wrong with them than what did we do. Now, God gave me a what can did we do to balance it out, you see. He's pretty wise like that. But I'm just saying, when they left, it's like, oh, God, we're so sorry that they left. We hope we didn't do nothing wrong, you know. And we just kind of had to have a funeral service. And finally, it clicked one day. People come, people go. And it's healthy, and it's normal, and it's okay. And I was going to take you to Acts 15. At 36 through 40, that's where Paul and Silas differed on who was going to do ministry. John Mark, Barnabas says, and he says, no, not so. He left it early in our ministry, and he didn't fulfill what I thought he should fulfill. And how many knows, they butted heads, and the contention was so sharp, they went different directions. But later on, if you look in 2 Timothy 4:11, he says, Paul says, "And bring John Mark, he's needful for me. I want to use him in ministry again." So that's eldership. That's the level that we all should get on, where we can butt heads and forgive. But I'm just telling you, it's normal for people to come, and it's normal for people to go. That's we have a few abnormal people here. Donna Clark is abnormal. She's here in phase one. She came in phase one, and she's hatched her children here. She's just a squatter. She's here for the long haul. And, and we appreciate people like you so much, because at least we can look out and see somebody has suffered as long as we have. I mean, been blessed as long as we have. And then we see Randy that came in phase two, just came down the road. And Randy and I go way back, and he's still here today. He told me today, just pray for Randy. He said, "I don't know if I'll be healthy enough to stay here or not during the service." He's here today, but he don't feel good, and he's battled. But, thank God for people like you, the Nicelys that have been here for so long. But it's normal and it's healthy for people to come and people to go. And I want to tell you something. There's no right way or wrong way to do it, because I try to just say, are you happy when you're leaving, and are you excited? And people say, yeah. And I say, well, we're excited for you. And then you get bashed because you don't care if they go. I think they want you to cry and all that. And it is sad. But, I'm happy And here's something I'll close with this. In 50 years, if the Lord tarries, probably they'll remember none of us. Somebody say, Pastor Jack, and say, who is that? I think it's some old guy that founded this. I think I heard. And they won't remember us, because it'd be a new generation. And that's the way it's supposed to be. People come and people go. Here's what I'd like you to do, though. When God says it's time to go, and it may not be go from here, but go out into ministry, step out by faith. He'll give you enough information. Use your talent for God. He said, when every part does its share, that's what causes growth in the body of Christ. Every part does its share. Aren't you glad everybody was sharing this morning and doing their part so we can have ministry and be ministered to? And just remember, people come, people go. Don't judge them. Just love them and send them off with God's blessing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for 26 years of just blessing us and loving on us. We've never missed a payment, never been late on payroll, never, you've just been such a faithful God. You've always filled the void and the gap with other people. And thank you for all the people that have came and taught and blessed and nurtured and give their talents away here at Prayer of Faith over the years, and have taught us and trained us and planted in us. And now there's other generations that are going out and other generations that are building here. It's a beautiful thing, the family of God, and we thank you for allowing us to be a part of it. And we give you praise for keeping us and sustaining us right where we are. Use us for your glory is our prayer and our desire. And we ask this in your Son's name. Grant it, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. All the church said, amen.